Welcome to the Dr. Dads Podcast, where a naturopath and chiropractor come together each week to share lifestyle medicine, health advice, and inspiring interviews with some of the top experts in health and wellness, bringing you the latest in nutrition, exercise, ancient healing, toxins and detox, your microbiome, mindset, hormones, brain, and much more. Stay tuned. We're going to teach you how to experience growth daily.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. David Wardy coming at you with another great episode of the Dr. Dads Podcast. Buddy, all day, that's like sixth time today that I've been skipping over my words. So guys, everybody, yeah, the best, these things happen to me. I need NIS, man. I need to get adjusted.
Well, that's what happens when you're talking all day long to people. And
I
find the same thing.
Yes, yeah. The tongue is a muscle, right?
good to see you again, man.
Yes, so I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Nick Jensen, and we're excited about today because we were speaking that we haven't had a recap in a while, and we've had a lot of topics that we've brought up in the last 4 or 5 months, man, yep, that have kind of developed, and we've gotten to try some of these things. We're going to dive into recovery, and we're going to dive into Dr. Nick's journey right now because he's been very active in his training, and he's had some stuff he's had to work on. And we're going to dive into like how he's worked on that process and kind of he's done some blood work and talk about his cold plunging journey, which is awesome. I'm excited to talk about that. I always get excited. And then we're going to talk about bioprotein, which we both have been doing pretty regularly. I've even had my off phase cycled off, come back on. A lot of feedback that I have for that. And then a lot of patient feedback, and they're funny stories. You're going to love them, by the way, as we get into that. And then what else, man? What else did we say we were going to chat about?
Oh, and then just a reminder, I guess, highlight the last.
Oh, yeah, Chris Burris from this podcast that we just posted. He had a health summit that he basically released for longevity. And he talked to over like 50 health experts in the field of anti-aging and health, and basically got feedback from all these individuals. And it's a great summit, man. Like I'm going to dive into it. It's just a lot of video to get through, but I think it's worth it because he's got some really good speakers on there. He's got Greenfield on there, right? Ben Greenfield. Yeah. Who else does he have on there?
Dave Asprey,
Gundry,
Dr. Gundry.
Right. So there's some big names in there. And then, of course, for our listeners, Chris is the scientist and founder, right, of My Vital C, which is the car, the ESS, is it C60?
C60, yeah.
Yeah, and this is a bioavailable form of pretty much an alien type of molecule, right? Because it's not from the planet, right? We talked about that in our first one.
Yeah,
like they only find
it's like
this
constructed.
Yeah, like so interesting. But it's a binder. This thing is pretty amazing. So that's a great conversation. So if you haven't listened to our podcast with Chris, we have one way back that's called My Vital C, and we get into the structure of this molecule, what it does, you know, how it's developed, how biohacking has really brought it forward, the results people have. And then we just got into another conversation with him. Chris wrote a book, Living Longer and Better.
Yeah,
and he gets into longevity, his journey, what he's learning, what the research is showing, all these things, and we also talk about his health summit. So, catch that was just the last episode. But buddy, I'm excited to just get into your journey because this is going to let us roll out all these things we've been talking about in the last like 6 months. So, tell us where you're at, man. Where were you? Where are you at now?
Yeah,
really dive in because you shared a lot of like. Just like pain and other things that you had going on, right? And like, I want you to give the listeners like a bit of what that looked like.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had the one podcast where we kind of talked about what's the best diet, and you've really helped to transform the way I look at, you know, nutrition, because I was a very stout vegetarian, no meat kind of guy for many years, about 15 years. And then our second son, when he was born, he started having solid food. We recognized that his nervous system and his energy and his everything about him just seemed to be doing better when he had some animal protein. And so that sort of entered back into my life. And fast forward, you know, now I've jumped into a 2-week carnivore experiment. So it's a one contrast to another. But there's something you said a few weeks ago when I was dealing with an injury, which I'll talk about in a sec, but you're like, buddy, like, I think you need some more bioavailable protein in your body. And I know that you've been, you know, doing mostly vegetarian. And sure enough, on my latest blood work, my albumin actually was a little bit low. My total protein was a little bit low, despite even now, you know, having meat probably 4 to 5 days a week, but it would only be in one sitting a day. So I'd never really, I don't think in those 15 years, and then plus the 10 where my son's been alive and with us, have I ever actually like overcome that deficit? Potentially, right? So last spring I started a softball, and I noticed that your hamstrings get a real ass kicking when you go from standing still to sprinting. And I've always considered myself be a very fast runner and be very quick. My nickname in college basketball was Nick the Quick.
Yeah.
And so I was always like quick off the start, and I was usually faster than everybody. But I recognize in my 44-year-old body that wow, am I ever injury prone? And I wasn't getting potentially enough of that, the repair molecule, despite doing amino acids in the, you know, the mild to moderate amount of animal protein. And so it was like, it was really the conversation you and I had around, hey, like, I don't think you're getting enough repair stimulus. I don't think you're putting your body into enough recovery experiences because your activity level is higher. So I'm training with two different trainers a couple times a week, doing some of my own weight training at home, doing some running, doing all the things. And I was probably, you know, doing more than what my body had on reserve for repair and recovery as far as nutrition goes. And then it's probably just pushing a little bit more than I needed to.
Buddy, at the age that we're at. Beast mode, man.
Yeah.
You're going beast mode. Like,
yeah.
I remember you telling me what you were doing, because I was like, so what are you doing, man? You're like, well, I'm training, like, you're doing like five days a week or six at one point.
Yeah, more. It was more like six. Yeah.
So yeah, you're like, I'm training 6 days a week, and you're like, you were doing weights.
Yeah.
Right. And then, yeah, how many days a week were you doing the weights? So like that, you'd say
at least 4 or 5.
Training. Okay, so that's a decent amount of strength, yeah, training with weights.
Yeah.
And then you meet up with PAX how many days a week?
Once a week.
Yeah. So, and that's all that, like, we had an episode. Everybody, it was what did we call that episode?
I remember Restore Human.
Restore Human. Yeah. And it was one of the trainers at this really cool place that Dr. Nick gets to train at with PAX, super cool guy. That was a fun, mm-hmm, conversation. And a lot of really cool functional stuff. Some of it is strength-based, but it's mobility, right? There's a lot of stability along with the strength and pendiculation, like we talked a little bit, and stuff like that. Very, very much needed, right? To add.
And we talked about the fascia.
Yeah, we got into the fascia, but so you had a good load, man. Like, you were running, mm-hmm, like, not long distance, but you were doing a little bit of running, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I remember we had those conversations, and like, you just weren't. What did that picture look like after a while, man? Like, so you started running into what? Describe the. You had some. I remember you telling me that my back's just killing me. I always feel stiff.
Well, for quite a long time now, I think it was probably somewhere around the hamstring injury where, like, I had this sort of low-grade, low back discomfort. Just, I'd notice it when I wake up, like stiffness. Probably started to notice that stiffness from age 41, 42. I thought maybe it was a mattress thing, even though our mattress is fine and whatnot. But it wasn't until the hamstring injury that I started to realize, like, my posterior chain is just extremely tight. And then the hamstring injury really, like, showed me that every time I do a leg workout, my low back eventually starts to hurt because that pulling mechanism is just creating a tremendous amount of tension in the ligaments, and the structural integrity of the low back becomes compromised to the point where, like, last week, I parked my car underneath the underground parking here at our clinic, and it's like a 1.5 minute walk at best. It took me 10 minutes to get from my car to the front door. And this day after I got this like nasty pull on the lower back. And so my mobility is just plummeted. And I think it was like a meeting of many things. I got the Vivo barefoot shoes, which I love, but I went for a jog in those or a run. I didn't do a slow run. I did a fast run. Like, it's all or nothing. Had the leg workout earlier that day and then went for the run in the new barefoot shoes. And it was just all this compacting stuff of never really recovering from a hamstring injury from baseball back in the spring. And so I think we want to share a story just to show, like, there's never just one thing, but it's this accumulation of factors that then, you know, leads to this, you know, loud enough disruption that I have to start to do something about it. One of the recovery tools you told me about was the cold plunging too.
Well, but let's have that conversation. So, like, you talked about your diet, right?
Yeah.
We talked about training intensity, type of training you're doing. What else do we need to get into? Like, let's go into recovery at the early part. What kind of things were you doing for recovery? Because you're training 6 days a week. So, like, what did recovery look like aside from, like, trying to eat good? And yeah. Hydrating,
like yogic stretch, stretching,
supplementing. Okay, stretching, yeah. Supplementing, yeah. Right? Like doing aminos. Yeah. What else? What kind of stuff?
I mean, I would bring in some like the, again, aminos, fatty acid, the right ratio. Has brought some minerals in. Yeah, some extra collagen. Though I wasn't doing the liquid collagen that you're going to be talking about in a bit. So I was doing all like the nuts and bolts pieces that, you know, from a supplementation point of view, but it was definitely lagging on the actual nutrition side.
Okay. And then other recovery things at that point, aside from yoga, what else were you doing?
Rapid release was pretty regular.
Powerful tool. Yeah. Great tool. Yeah.
Amazing tool. I was doing a lot of ball rolling and just releasing with the roller. The thing I only started to do more recently was the mobility stuff, like the somatic stuff that you talked about. And that's actually that together with some of Pax's mobility exercises that to me they're very much the same as the somatics, maybe just with his own twist on it. So that combination has been tremendously impactful. But all these things are newer relative to like the chronic injury. But one of the things I said to you the other day was like, buddy, like you can't let things linger in your body. You know, like the hamstrings are good. They're like an Achilles heel for me at this point. They throw other things in my body off because I haven't fully restored them.
Think on the chain, man.
Yeah. So it's wild to think that, because I think so many of us are walking around with these little nagging things that we're not paying attention to. You know, it doesn't have to just be like a physical musculoskeletal thing. It could be, I don't know, hemorrhoids, or it could be brain fog, or like whatever the symptom might be, right? And I think the longer we let things, you know, grind those grooves into the habits and the compensation that ensues, like
there's a ripple effect. End up
with bigger problems.
Oh yeah, there's a ripple effect. Like, what did you tell me the other day? You said, "I'm realizing, you know, at our age, and this is aging, man. Right? Is we need to get ahead of things. We need to have a, you know, game plan of like, well, I mean, we always talk about preventative on this podcast. We talk about wellness, we talk about vitality, we talk about longevity. We're always talking about these things.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to drive a point to is like, even though if you're doing all the things you think you're supposed to be doing, you have to vary and change up your process, and you can't get stagnant in doing the same thing, eating the same way, and training or moving the same way, and supplementing the same way.
You bet.
Like, that is such a big lesson I think people need to hear, and this is a nugget for you, everybody. Your body thrives off adaption. It can't stay in one state too long. It just can't. Mm-hmm. It needs this shift. And then if you're doing the same thing with your process for like years at a time, it's going to start to fail you eventually. The body, energetically, there's going to be stagnation there. So, you know, you have to change up the way you eat. Like we're going to talk about, Nick's going to talk about that. He already did. You know, he's doing carnivore. His training has to change, and his recovery process has to change. His supplement process has to change. So let's talk about that, man. Like, so we talked about, okay, maybe we need to change it up. So I started adding more protein. That was a big thing in the diet. Supplement game, what changed in the supplement game for you in the last like six?
A lot more consistency. Like I was sort of like, you're asking, well, how much of the amino acids are you taking every day? I'm like, well, I take the most days, but not really. I'm taking like a minimal dose at best right now. So I had to increase that. And then I started to get into some more specific anti-inflammatory tools, some like Boswellia and some enzymes and things like that that were helping to sort of just work on that low-grade inflammation. On my DNA test that I did a couple of years ago, I saw that my body is more prone to being inflammatory sensitive. So I think when my body gets like, you know, built up with too much repetition, not enough adaptation, some of those tools are actually really, really helpful to change the signal. And it's been part of like more recently, I'm using something called SPM Active, which is it's a Metagenics product called the Pro-Resolving Mediator. It's a tool that actually like signals to turn this acute phase inflammation. It's for most people, and myself included, your inflammation's stuck on the on phase. Like the cytokines don't stop sending their chemical signals because there's not enough new information to adapt. And so these things help to resolve that acute phase and move it into the resolution phase of inflammation. So that's been a cool tool to bring in as well. I think that those are the big things on supplementation. Still doing some collagen, still doing, or more consistent with minerals. But then the other thing that I did recently was I went again back to my DNA test and saw that my phase two metabolites for detoxification of hormones and just detoxification in general is potentially a weak point. So I brought in some more complex B vitamins and some liver support, which is interesting enough. In my recent blood work, my bilirubin was just screened as slightly just above range. So it does show that, like, you know, I'm not putting toxic food in my body, like all the things. But if your body, if you have a system in your body, like in this case, and for me, the phase two of liver detox, if that needs extra solutions and the body's processing extra inflammation, we need to support that tissue. So the B vitamins actually were a brilliant shift too for me.
I like that you brought
it. I think it's on the supplement side.
I like the phase one, phase two liver point. Like the liver is one of those glands, man. I always tell people it's like getting an oil change. You got to clean the liver up. No, it really is. Like think about all the stuff we have to process and then how like inflammation is an issue with a lot of people chronically, right? And so sometimes it's the second phase of the liver that's is having the trouble pushing these things out. And sometimes it's the first phase that's not working well. But man, like how you guys do liver cleanses just like we do, like 7 day, right? It's 14 days sometimes, right? And like these people come out of them and it's magic. I mean, it's not the only thing that we do. I mean, that's a small part of the process, but it just helps to clean that gland up, man. Like you're saying, like things just work better.
Yeah.
And then recovery, man. Yeah, recovery. Let's talk about
One other thing I'll say, just on my most recent blood work, it looked phenomenal, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Regardless, like the two things that are sticky for me, like my hemoglobin A1C was amazing, insulin, all the metabolic markers, all the inflammatory markers, like triglycerides to homocysteine, everything looked magical. The two things that were sticky, one was the bilirubin, and then the other one was my sex hormone binding globulin, which I talk about all the time, and I was so pissed about that because my testosterone looked amazing, but my SHBG was twice what it was when I last checked it. And the more I dug into it, I think that the sticky point for me is too much restriction, caloric restriction, leads to increases in SHBG. And I wasn't putting my finger on that. And this kind of comes back to proper nutrition. I'm doing 3 days a week where I'm just having that one meal a day, and then 2 days a week where it's two meals a day and then one feast day. Based on that marker, that's the only thing that I'm doing. Like cortisol, high stress can elevate that, high estrogen. Those markers were not activated in my system. But the thing that's been super consistent for the last many years is this, I steer more aggressively into caloric restriction through fasting. And so I think that that's actually been part of this whole like protein deficit and not having enough nutrition on board side of things, overtraining, not enough eating.
I mean, that's right there, man, is like you just hit it on the head, right? Totally. So Nick did some blood work. He found the sticky points. He went in and tried to think, okay, process wise, what's causing this issue? And like, you know, it's interesting, man. You know, when we fast, which I fast very similar to what you're talking about. I'm in a famine phase right now, so like I'm not feasting right now. I'm almost done. I'm ready to feast again. By the way, it's my birthday this weekend.
This weekend. I was gonna say it's not today. Yeah.
No. This weekend. Yeah. So no, like to your point, like these things we're talking about. So you found these sticky points. You dove in. Okay, what am I doing? Okay. You're training a lot, man. Like that's when I was talking to you, I was like, shit, you're training that much and that's all you're eating. Like, yeah. And that's why I told you, I was like, it's how you gotta, buddy, you need more. Like,
yeah.
And so we talk about this all the time, that the demands of the body, right?
Yeah.
Change based off of what we're doing. Right. Yeah. And like you had a heavy training cycle. And then, buddy, you use your brain all day massively in your job and what you're doing, right? And then you're running around with the kids. I mean, you're busy. And so there's just a whole lot going on that needs to be supported. And like you just said, you weren't eating enough. And you weren't eating enough of the right things. And that's definitely going to have a massive impact on the way the body processes things and the way, you know, the body's going to be able to let these systems get into rhythm.
Yeah, totally. And so it's super interesting because when we talked about, or you talking to Sonia about getting, Sonia got me a birthday or a Christmas present, a cold plunge.
It's an awesome present, buddy. I got so excited for you when she told me what she wanted to get you. I was like, what? I looked at Clarissa like, you better up your game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, she's going to have to listen to this episode. But you were going through all the details with her and then it was this wonderful surprise. And then to be honest, like when so she told me, like, I probably won't use it that much. You know, I mean, I'll get in there, but I'm probably not going to use it that much. But like, here we are a couple months later. I've used it almost every day. I effing love that thing. It's amazing. Yeah. It's just so cool. And I think one of the things was it just took layers off of that pain response. Because to your point of adaptation, I was doing cold showers and stuff like that. But, you know, who's got time to sit in a shower for like 10 minutes every day? Like, most of us don't. I'd rather sit in a plunge first thing in the morning and then go exercise, which is what I'm doing now. And on the mental side of things, it's as soon as that conversation comes in, dude, if there's snow outside or it's frosty or it's pouring rain or there's a windstorm last night, like all the reasons why one would make a second decision to go into an icy bath outside nonetheless, you just kind of go like, I'm not listening to any of that. And it's pitch black outside. It's like sensory deprivation with all the elements. And it's just me in that cold water. And brilliant what it did just for that inflammatory part of my body. Like it took my body into a brand new phase of recovery that I wasn't expecting. And I definitely wasn't expecting to do it every day. And I definitely 100% wasn't expecting to do it first thing in the morning. So it's been like, it's just so cool to do this daily. I feel like I played the dragon first thing.
Yeah, man, like when you talk about it, it gives me like this, I can feel my body because I like to plunge. So like you're talking about it and I'm like trying to picture that in the morning, like in that stillness, like so early, right? And like getting in that thing and just like, oh man, like I bet you feel so good when you get out of it, when you're starting your day, man. Like your day, I bet your days have just changed.
They have absolutely. I was talking to you about this a little bit during our holiday season. I'm going to be a little vulnerable. I was feeling a little lack of motivation, a little lack of purpose, a little lack of direction. There's so much going on in the world. And you're firing all cylinders. You're like, you just had to find your thing. You remind yourself of who you are. And actually that was a powerful moment in our conversation because it kind of anchored me into my word of this year, which is to remember. It's like, so every morning I get to remember who I am and the inner athlete, the inner warrior, the inner Viking, whatever that is for me. And I get to be in relationship with that avatar right off the get go. And it just feels like you're kind of getting back in the driver's seat again, as opposed to like life is happening around you. You can find, you know, solace and complacency. and the not doing, and so that's been really, really cool. So, and I feel like a lot of that came from our conversation that we had over the holidays.
I'm glad you shared that, because life gets busy for all of us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, really busy sometimes. And you can get lost in like losing a little bit of who you are because you've just been so busy. You haven't had time for yourself and you haven't had time to just be. And it's so important to be, right? And it's cool. Like, that's what you're getting to do in the morning. You just get to be. But it's a powerful way of like taking that small amount of time you may have to do those things for yourself in the morning. And really, like, you know what I was thinking when you were telling me about that whole process now? Because you get up, you go plunge, then you go train, right? Then you come back, and then you get ready, and you start your day, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, man, what a powerful way to use that time in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, most people just jump out of bed, get in the shower, brush their teeth, get dressed, and go to work, man. Like,
totally.
that's how they're starting up their day.
Yeah.
And you really think about, well, what is that doing for you? Like, there's way better ways of doing that. And like, I'm listening to you, and like, we've had some other people share how they start their days, like pretty cool stuff. You know, it's that power hour or that couple or that 2 power hours, you know, that you have for you before you get going. Because, man, I don't know about you, and like most people I have as practice members, is like, they're busy all day long. Like when they get out of work, then they like have their kids and they run their kids around and they have dinner and blah, 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 and it's just like, then it's to bed. This is like, go, stop. Go, stop. And like, we all have those experiences. So, you know, I'm taking this time to talk about this with Nick, because like, we're all doing our best to take care of ourselves, but life just gets busy. And like, like Nick brought a beautiful point back of like, it's just this remembering, and he took more time for him to like have that space to remember. And then like, buddy, you're in a different place now, like noticeably in a different place than where you were just coming out of Christmas. And we're just
totally
March, but like you popped out of that quick, and like, just, you know, you shifted. But I want to hear more, like, so on these cryos, you said noticeable improvement in like your pain scale and like the back stuff, and like, have you noticed, like, how about sleep recovery, like how you're feeling in your body? What is the sleep and that looking like?
Yeah, range of motion has been noticeably improved in the lower spine. Just like not waking up with that achy discomfort anymore. And other than the more recent, like a post barefoot run and the little acute injury,
we'll talk about that in a second, because that's a lesson we have to talk about.
Exactly. a lot of like the mental clarity, the drive, the most like fascinating thing was this. I don't want to say desensitization, or just being at peace with the weather. Like here in Vancouver, I mean, in the wintertime, there's not a lot of sunny days. And if there are sunny days, you know, often I'm inside working with patients or whatever. And on the weekends, I get to be out in the elements. And I caught myself, especially before a cold plunge, complaining about the rain and the cold. And we have to sit outside here watching our kids play soccer as parents. But thankfully, like, we live in a place also where you can play soccer year round, despite, you know, some field closures with snow, but mostly it's just heavy rain and whatnot. But my hands don't get as cold, like my feet don't get as cold. So cold adaptation has been tremendous, but also just, it's more the mental thing of like, oh shoot, it's raining again. This sucks. Like, I don't start my day like that because I was just out in it. You know what I mean? So I don't care about the weather as much. And that's been really cool, because I started to realize how much subtle, but how much I was dictating my mood based on what outside looked like.
That's been really cool. How many people stress about the weather all the time?
Without even really giving it too much thought, and yet
and they don't think occupying. It's a stressor. Like, they don't, exactly. They're like, oh, it's so hot. Like, oh, I hate it. It's so hot. And then they don't think that's going to affect how they feel the rest of the day. And it's like, that's
crazy.
And then those are the ones that you talk to, and they're like, I don't have any stress. I don't feel stressed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I always thought Chris, like, because she hates the summer. I'm like, babe, like, you need to accept it. Just like, it's just all about attitude. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I remember 2 days in football, man, like, super hot outside, and you're just like, I mean, you just become one with it, man. Like,
yeah, exactly.
There's no other way to put that.
It's true. But it's wild to think, like, how much, like, you see it on walking around here in the streets of Vancouver. If it's raining, everyone's head down. Like, no one makes eye contact. Everyone's, like, depressed and shut down. And the amount of people that we see just with seasonal affective disorder, or that have self-labeled or whatever, have been given the diagnosis by their practitioner, or they have low mood from November to March or whatever it is. Like, it's tremendous. And to think that there's, like, actually finding a way to go into the discomfort, you know, through cold therapy, you know, awakens all sorts of different things that you weren't really even aware of. Like, I didn't, like, sure, I know I don't, I'd rather have a sunny day for sure, but I didn't realize how much it was affecting me until after I put myself in that experience. So that was an interesting one.
I bet you could probably get that achieved with heat as well. Like, when it's super hot, right? So, yep. I mean, that's key, man, right? This adaptation. And what else, man? Mm-hmm. Like, so better brain function, better adaptation to temperature.
Yeah, I have to say libido's definitely.
Oh, that was my next question, man. How their hormones, man. I bet your growth hormone stuff is just, like, off the charts.
Yeah, that one, I mean, with the bioprotein, which we'll talk about too, there's some noticeable stuff there, but I'm waiting. That's the one lab that hasn't come back yet. So that one should be back any day now, where I get to see the effect on the growth hormone.
Yeah.
Because it's the hormone adaptation from that stress response that really spikes up. And I was happy to see just this big surge in testosterone. Like, it's like 15 points higher than what it was before. Like, on our Canadian scale, it goes from 8 to 30 or 28. Last time I checked, it was somewhere around like 13, which isn't not fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This is also, I think the last blood test I did for that one, that particular marker was quite a while ago. It was almost 10 years ago. So funny that I'm, you know, 10 years older, but my testosterone is like up in like the upper, like 26.8 or something like that. The upper limit's 28. Awesome. So a huge jump.
Oh, yeah.
But it's this SHBG that I gotta work on. But anyways, very interesting to see that also back then I was also full vegetarian and like so lower hormone. Now some meat now and then now recently as of I'm on day two of carnivore now, and higher protein should mobilize down the SHBG but also keep and maintain higher hormone function. So
yeah. I'm excited to hear how that carnivore journey goes.
Yeah. Or you know, straight up boring right now.
Did I ever tell Well, what are you eating, man? Like,
well, I'll give you my day yesterday. I had started with 4 eggs.
Okay.
Middle of the day we went to this like organic Vietnamese restaurant, which is like phenomenal food. And I got their like all meat dish. It was a liver pate, steak, and 2 eggs. Like sliced steak and man, it was amazing. And then last night I finished off with I fried up some chicken, salt and pepper, and then I put a little bit of the extra hot sauce that came with the meal yesterday.
Are you adding like fats?
Not right now. I don't know. Maybe I will as the week goes on.
Well, you're doing the eggs. You're doing the eggs.
Right. I was going to ask you on what you might suggest there, because I wouldn't mind having some avocados.
Oh, there's so many styles to carnivore, man. Like, I know. I have some patients that will do mostly meat, but then they'll add like a little bit of fruit, like certain fruits.
Yeah, like berries or something.
Yeah, and there's options there. And then some people just go strict in waves, and then they'll throw in a little bit of carbs here and there. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad to hear you said liver, because you got to eat the glands.
Like, yeah.
Most people that do carnivore, they don't do it right.
Exactly.
If you don't eat the glands, you got to supplement them.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I was going to say earlier, because you were talking about the hormones and stuff. Did I ever tell you that story about Colin Kaepernick, that quarterback for the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers?
No, I don't think so.
So you know how he went like to the Super Bowl and he had that like huge year with the 49ers and it was a big deal, and then you slowly just saw him disappear out of the NFL. Well, he came back after one of the seasons. I don't remember if it was after the Super Bowl the year after. And he apparently was dating some girl and got into being like a vegetarian or a vegan. And he stopped eating meat, man. And this guy's an NFL professional athlete quarterback.
Serious demand. Yeah.
Dude, he came back and in the beginning of the practices before the season, he dropped I think they said 20 or 25 pounds or something, around 20 pounds he lost of muscle. Wow. Wow. And he just couldn't throw the ball anymore, man. His passes had no speed, strength on them. His performance just drastically tanked to the point that they just let him go, man, because he couldn't sustain trying to be a vegan. And so the reason I'm bringing that story up, that was actually taught to me when I was doing a functional medicine thingy online, and the guy was talking about the importance of animal protein. And explaining, he basically was saying, you have to have it, you know, as an athlete. There's no way around it. You're going to run into problems eventually. But, just to what you're saying, right? You're having to add some of these things to mobilize these hormones. And it's just the way our bodies are built.
Yeah.
You know, you look different. You know, you told me you started eating meat regularly for how long? What would you say it's been more regular? How long have you been doing that?
I mean, I've increased it since we had that conversation.
And that was,
A couple months ago.
A couple months ago?
Yeah. But I had, but prior to that, I would have maybe 1 to 2 meals a week with some animal protein. Not a huge serving. So it was there, just was barely there.
So what changes have you seen in your body, man, since you've been, aside from lab work, have you seen changes in how much muscle you feel you're holding on your body? How you're building more muscle?
Yeah, more lean muscle for sure. I mean, I just did a body composition test a while ago, so I'm going to do another one after I do this 2 weeks, 1 to 2 weeks, or however long it lasts with the carnivore. But that's the biggest thing, is just when I do the workouts, it's not just managing inflammation or whatever. It's actually putting more of that building muscle on, which is good. That's the biggest one. And then just energy and strength too, I guess. Those are definitely gone up too.
Well, and that goes into your hormones, right? So for our listeners, your musculoskeletal system is part of your hormones. It's a double-edged sword. If you don't have muscle, you're not building muscle, or your body's not trying to build muscle, you're going to have hormone issues. This is just how it works. So that's why it's important to do strength training. It's important to exercise and do some of these things, because you can't build healthy hormones without it. But let's jump into bioprotein real quick.
Yeah.
So you've been on it. Let's see. I got on it for 3 months, came off a month. I just got back on it. How long have you been on it?
I've done 2 rounds. So I did 1 month, and then I took about a 2 week break, and then did another month. Okay. And then, so I'm 3 weeks off since my last.
So we're both cycling a little different. Yeah. So let me share my experience real quick. Just when I'm on it, man, it's crazy. So for our listeners, if you haven't listened to the Bioprotein podcast, go back and listen to it. It's awesome stuff. So me and Nick are taking basically growth factors. It's not growth hormone. It's the growth factors that growth hormone gives you. But when you take this, and it's all natural, basically when you take this stuff, you get the benefit of increasing testosterone, actually, and you increase IGF-1. And so we interviewed Dustin Baker, right? I think it was his last name, on that podcast. And so what they claim is that you're going to see improvements in brain function, energy, sleep, recovery, libido, what else? Immune system benefits, right?
Yeah.
And I have seen all of the above. This stuff's incredible, man. So when I'm on it, noticeable energy improvement throughout the day, steady. I feel better. I just recover better in my days. I wake up a little more crisp in the morning when I'm on it versus when I'm not. Libido, man, it's on another level.
Yeah.
So any of our listeners, if libido is an issue in your marriage or you need some help there, this stuff's awesome. It's awesome, man. So I don't mind sharing, but sex life is pretty amazing. When me and Clarissa are both on it, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, if one of you gets on it, I suggest the other one gets on it.
Exactly.
Otherwise, there might be an uneven score there of where you're at. There. What else? Libido recovery. Buddy, there was horrible respiratory stuff going through El Paso from like October, honestly, through like this month still. And everybody passed it, man. Everybody, upper respiratory stuff. Mm. And I put my hands on probably 500 people a week, man.
Yeah,
nothing. Never got sick. Like, I've been good, awesome. Man. And I can't maybe give all that credit to bioprotein because I also do mushroom extracts, which has probably helped a ton as well. But, buddy, I love that stuff. So I took my month off. I did 3 months on, took a month off. By a week off of it, started noticing I felt different. And then, honestly, by the halfway through the month off, I was like, oh my God, I need to get back on this stuff. And then when I got back on it, man, it was like the lights turned back on and I felt it right away. It was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I've been on it. I think we're going on our second week after we started back up. And then patient testimonials real quick, man. So I have one guy, he tells us the other day, he's like, oh, I feel hungover when I'm not on that stuff. And we're like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, my recovery was just so much better when I was on it. He's like, when I'm off it and I go to the gym, he's like, I feel like crap longer and my body just doesn't bounce back as quick. And he's like, my sleep and I mean, all those things, his sleep and his energy is not as good. And it's funny to hear these people, like, I have a woman who's on it because she needed something to increase testosterone. She's like, oh my God, my energy is so much better. My brain is so clear. I mean, I've been getting all amazing testimonials all around, man. Libido, like all the stuff I talked about, it's just from men and women, I've been getting the feedback. So it's been really good, man. Like, it's an amazing product. So Dustin definitely wasn't tooting his horn, man. Like, he was.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, everything you described, I definitely noticed, but I noticed that more on my first round of experience. And you were kind of saying that maybe I needed more or longer sort of, being on it before taking the break, but I'm going to bring it back in a couple weeks too, because it was so noticeable in that first round. I was like, what the hell is going on? My body felt like it was changing.
And the sleep, to attest to that, because you're doing like a month on and then you're coming off, right? Like, I noticed an improvement in the sleep in my second month of being on it consistently. Oh, interesting. So like, I was 6 weeks in and then I started noticing sleep improvements. So it was cool on that, because that is an important benefit that I've noticed for me. Mm-hmm. And I've had other patients, they say their sleep has improved. But it's interesting, man. Like, I get about the best I would get ever, and REM and deep, is about an hour and a half. Like, it would be a miracle if I saw 2 hours of any of those when I go to sleep. I just don't get past an hour and a half, man. Like, I just never have. So all of a sudden, like 6 weeks into bioprotein, I started hitting 2 hours of each.
Wow, that's crazy.
And it was consistent. Like, it wasn't like a fluke. Like, it was 2 hours this day and then I never saw it again. Like, I was hitting consistent 2 hours of REM, 2 hours of deep. And then I even hit more than that. I hit 3 hours of deep one night. Like, I'm getting like way longer cycles on some nights, man, when I'm on it.
Wow.
Versus when I wasn't on it. So, and I can show you Whoop data on my Whoop band.
Yeah.
Data on that stuff. It's awesome.
That's amazing. I mean, when you have those really, really great restorative sleeps, the world is brighter the next day. You feel amazing. Like, I keep harping on this one concept with people, just how important it is to, I would say, throw the kitchen sink at your sleep. Do something so you can make a massive change there, because that changes everything for people when they can actually repair at night.
It's huge.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought I was sleeping good for the most part, but until you get that much deeper sleep, and you're just like, oh my God, it's like another level.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's not a small change. Like, I have some people who, they show me their data and they're like, yeah, I got like 20, maybe 30 minutes of deep sleep. And that's been sort of consistent for, you know, maybe the time that they had their tracking device. So who knows how long, you know, it goes on like that for. Or they may get the odd 45 minute But it's like when you can take that to just even a half an hour more or an hour more, I mean, the impact is, it seems more logarithmic as opposed to just getting, you know, hey, I got 15 minutes more deep sleep. Like it really matters in a big way.
Well, and my strain this year is much higher just because I'm busier, you know, yeah. Like my average strain, and my recovery has been solid, man. So it's been interesting to see.
And people coming, keep coming. I mean, that's their testament too, to something that's working, is because people will keep coming back to get more.
Oh man, I'm having, it's not like, stuck, oh, I should, but yeah.
Yeah. It's not like, hey, I should do that again because I did it last month. It's more like, get, you better have that in stock.
These are the main, this is the main question I get. Can I take this stuff all the time, or do I have to come off of it? Can I take this stuff the rest of my life? And I'm like, and I tell them, like, it's something that needs to be cycled on and off. I was like, but yes, you can take it for a long term. It's for longevity too. Like, it's anti-aging. Yeah. I was like, but you can't stay on it all the time.
Yeah.
And to that, that's why I take the month off. And that's why Nick takes these little gaps, because you need your body to desensitize. Now, the cool thing is it's not synthetic. So it's not like growth hormone. Like if you're taking a synthetic where it's going to affect your own hormone production, because you're just taking the growth factors.
Yeah.
But with any supplement, like we always preach on the podcast, you have to come off these things and cycle to desensitize to them so that they still have their impact when you come back on them again. I mean, we even talk about doing that with coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's a, like, that's a good sort of place to put a pin in it, because I think that that's really the message that we wanted people to get, even when we talked about my blood work, is that, you know, you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. And you need to force a change in the body, or nudge a change, you know, if you don't like the word force. But, you know, whether that's cold plunging, to saunas, to fasting, to changing your exercise regimen, to your supplement regimen, to doing things that change the way your hormones express themselves through, like, my new experiment with carnivore, or upping the protein. You know, you have to immerse yourself in a new experience in order for there to be a novel new release of hormones that are going to be supportive and trigger healing in your body. Yeah.
Very important. So, buddy, we'll have to have a part two of this one.
Yeah.
In about 3 months, because you're still working on these things, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, yeah. Love it. More to come.
Yes. So, buddy, we haven't had this in a while, and I'm going to give it to you today. Give our listeners a home play.
I think, yeah, I love that. I think the first question to ask yourself would be just, am I curious enough to take a deeper look? So ask yourself that. And then I think the easiest way to take a step forward is to consider either trying something new, a massive shift in your macronutrients as far as maybe the diet goes, or get some testing done. You know,
and maybe, points.
Yeah. You got to find out where you're stuck, like you said, you know, like, and I say it to every patient that comes in. They ask, hey, what supplements should I take? Whatever. And I'm like, I honestly don't know. Like, let's find out where you're stuck. Let's find the lowest hanging fruit possible. Let's get some blood work done and then start to make some adjustments, because you couldn't possibly know without testing. And you're testing people every day. You're doing NIS testing on them every day, on top of the other labs and things that you do. So, and your progress is always being measured and looked at and reassessed.
Well, and for our listeners and doctors listening, it lines up with the blood work, like 100%, what I see with NIS and what I see in the blood every single time.
That's awesome.
And it's nice to have a tool that I can believe in. When I check it, I'm like, yeah, that's what's going on there.
Yeah. Cool. So beautiful, be curious, man. And find a way to test something.
Measure. Yes.
Yeah, measure. Yeah.
What gets measured gets managed.
That's it.
Awesome.
Hasta luego, amigo.
All right, brother. Love you, man.
Love you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe to the Dr. Dads and share with your family and friends. You can also follow and interact with Dr. Nick and Dr. David on Facebook and Instagram for a daily dose of inspiration and the latest in health and wellness. Be well.